It's a privilege to come here to share the biblical verses with you. But before I start, it just so happened that somebody sent me a YouTube video. This is YouTube video was posted on YouTube January 12th this year. The title is Jesus versus Religion. Within a week, I saw some report. This video has 12 million hits within a week. But on the actual YouTube site, I only see 500,000 hits. But I don't know what that, you know, maybe there's other networking, you know, website that can hit that. So it became an instant hit. The author is a 23-year-old young man. To me, it's young man. To you, it's old man. He is a poet. So this he put on the YouTube is a poem he wrote. Let's hear that. Thanks.
What if I told you Jesus came to abolish religion? What if I told you voting Republican really wasn't his mission? What if I told you Republican doesn't automatically mean Christian, and just because you call some people blind doesn't automatically give you vision? I mean, if religion is so great, why has it started so many wars? Why does it build huge churches but fails to feed the poor? Tell single moms God doesn't love them if they've ever had a divorce, but in the Old Testament, God actually calls religious people whores. Religion might preach grace, but another thing they practice, tend to ridicule God's people, they did it to John the Baptist. They can't fix their problems, and so they just mask it, not realizing religion's like spraying perfume on a casket. See, the problem with religion is it never gets to the core. It's just behavior modification, like a long list of chores. Like, let's dress up the outside, make it look nice and neat, but it's funny, that's what they used to do to mummies while the corpse rots underneath. Now I ain't judging, I'm just saying, quit putting on a fake look. Because there's a problem if people only know that you're a Christian by your Facebook. I mean, in every other aspect of life, you know that logic's unworthy. It's like saying you play for the Lakers just because you bought a jersey. See, this was me too, but no one seemed to be onto me. Acting like a church kid while addicted to pornography. See, on Sunday I'd go to church getting faded, acting if I was simply created to just have sex and get wasted. See, I spent my whole life building this facade of neatness, but now that I know Jesus, I boast in my weakness. Because if grace is water, then the church should be an ocean. It's not a museum for good people, it's a hospital for the broken. Which means I don't have to hide my failure, I don't have to hide my sin. Because it doesn't depend on me, it depends on Him. See, because when I was God's enemy, and certainly not a fan, He looked down and said, I want that man. Which is why Jesus hated religion, and for it He called them fools. Don't you see so much better than just following some rules? Now let me clarify. I love the church, I love the Bible, and yes, I believe in sin. But if Jesus came to your church, would they actually let Him in? See, remember He was called a glutton and a drunkard by religious men. But the Son of God never supports self-righteousness, not now, not then. Now back to the point, one thing is vital to mention. How Jesus and religion are on opposite spectrums. See, one's the work of God, but one's a man-made invention. See, one is the cure, but the other's the infection. See, because religion says do. Jesus says done. Religion says slave. Jesus says son. Religion puts you in bondage, while Jesus sets you free. Religion makes you blind, but Jesus makes you see. And that's why religion and Jesus are two different clans. Religion is man searching for God. Christianity is God searching for man. Which is why salvation is freely mine, and forgiveness is my own. Not based on my merits, but Jesus' obedience. Because He took the crown of thorns and the blood dripped down His face. We all deserve. I guess that's why you call it grace. And while being murdered, He yelled, Father, forgive them. They know not what they do. Because when He was dangling on that cross, He was thinking of you. And He absorbed all your sin, and He buried it in the tomb, which is why I'm kneeling at the cross saying, come on, there's room. So for religion, no, I hate it. In fact, I literally resent it. Because when Jesus said, it is finished, I believe He meant it.
I show this to you is to, for us to read the Bible verses today to have a better, more correct view of faith and religion. I would not agree with everything he said in the U2. Is that clear? Especially, I wouldn't put religion in the opposite, diabolic opposite to faith. I would say religion without Christ versus Christ. So to me, what I would like to share with you today is religion without Christ versus Christ. Okay, so shall we read the Bible verses from John, verse 1 through 20? I didn't print out the verses. I thought you all have Bibles with you, so, or you have an iPad, you can. But we have to admit that Jefferson Bethke, that's his name, Jefferson Bethke, his presentation is rather powerful. It touches people's heart. But also, there have some, his personal view, that's why we try to differentiate what the Bible says versus what he thinks. Okay, let's read together from verse 1 through 29. It's a bit long, but okay, why don't we just read in unison? The Pharisees, 1, 2, 3, sees her, Jesus, was gaining more disciples than John. Although, in fact, it was not Jesus who baptized, but his disciple. When the Lord heard this, he left Judea and went back once more to Galilee. Now he had go to through Samaria. So he came up to a town in Samaria called Sychar. Jacob's well was there, and Jesus, tired as he was from journey, sat down by the well. It was about 6 hours. When a Samaritan woman came to draw water, Jesus said to her, "Will you give me a drink?" Ooh. The Samaritan woman said to him, "You are a Jew, and I'm a Samaritan woman. How can you ask me for a drink with the Samaritans?" Jesus answered her, "If you knew the gift of God and who it is that asks you for a drink, you would have asked him, and he would have given you living water." "Sir," the woman answered, "you have nothing to draw with, and the well is deep. Where can you get this living water? Are you greater than our father Jacob, who gave us this well and drank from it himself, and also his sons and flocks and herds? Everyone who drinks this well will be thirsty again. But whoever drinks the water I give him will never thirst. Indeed, the water I give him will become in him a spring of water welling up to eternal life." "Sir, give me this water so that I won't get thirsty and have to keep coming here to draw water." He told her, "Go call your husband and come back." "I have no husband," she replied. Jesus said to her, "You are right when you say you have no husband. That fact is, you have had five husbands, and the man you now live what you have just said is quite true." "Sir," the woman said, "I can see that you are a prophet. Our fathers worship on the mountain, but you Jews claim that the place where we must worship is in Jerusalem." Jesus declared, "Believe me, woman, a time coming when you will worship the Father neither on this mountain nor in Jerusalem. You Samaritans worship what you do not know. We worship what we do know. For salvation is from the Jews. Yet the time is coming and has now come when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and truth. For they are the kind of worshipers the Father seeks. God is the Spirit, and the worshipers must worship in spirit and truth. The woman said, I know that Messiah, called Christ, is coming. When he comes, he will explain everything to us. Then Jesus declared, I who speak to you am him. Just his disciples returned and saw surprised to find him talking with a woman. But no one asked, what do you want? Or why are you talking with her? Then, leaving her water jar, the woman went back to town and said to people, come, see a man who told me everything I ever did. Could this be Christ? Okay, we'll stop here. Let's have a word of prayer before we continue. Father, we humbly come to you in this Sunday morning celebrating the resurrection of Jesus Christ. We pray that your Holy Spirit will lead us, enlighten us, so that we can see the truth. We can worship you in the spirit you've given to us, and also in the truth that you will enlighten us. We pray that you will give us a restful heart so we'll be patient, sitting in front of your teaching, so we all may benefit. May your name be glorified. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Okay, so let's take a look at through the verses we just read. The first one I want to bring your attention to is the difference. I'm trying to find the pointer. No, there's no pointer. Oh, middle. Oh, okay. So what I want for all of us to see is the origin. Beginning. On this side is simply saying religions outside Christ. I should have a parenthesis outside Christ. This is faith in Christ. Okay. You see the story of John chapter 4. It says Jesus left Jesus had to go through he left Judea and departed again into Galilee. What it is you think about the geography. The Judea is in the south. Then the Galilee is in the north. In between is Samaria. So Jesus wanted to go from the south, Judea, to Galilee, so he must go through Samaria geographically. But most of the Jews don't do that. The Judea and Galilee are places where Jews lived. Samaria are the places where Samaritans lived. There's a historical animosity between the two group of people because the Samaria was conquered by Assyrian 200 years before the southern people was conquered by the Babylonian. So for that reason, the Samaritan people are assimilated through the process by the Assyrian. So they're half, so-called, a mixed marriage descendant of Jews, Israel, and Assyrian. Where the southern part, they're not. They're blood-wise, they're more pure. So they have a historical animosity between the two. So for the Jews to go from Judea to Galilee, they usually bypass. They go across the Jordan River to the west side, then go all the way up, then cross the Jordan River to Galilee. But Jesus didn't. He went straight through the places where Jews would normally avoid. This says something. Jesus was, by birth, a Jew, but he deliberately reached out to people of different racial, ethnic background. And just to show, he deliberately crossed all the human boundary. It shows it's not by accident he ran into this Samaritan woman. He deliberately wanted to meet her by design. That just shows, in general, this principle is true throughout the history. All the other religion without Christ is simply man seeks God, because we, in every generation, different era, we human beings all faced with the same calamity, same dilemma. For example, we think the economic or material world of 21st century is highest in the history, which is true. But that doesn't bring the economic security. No. Look at how often people are changing jobs these days. So often, even those have job have to be concerned with losing it when the economic tide turns. Nobody knows when that will turn. Nobody can imagine 5 years ago, the Europe, the one of the largest economic body in the world, is a huge problem, and no one can fix it. If the European banks start to collapse, then the ripple effect is the worldwide, going to plunge into recession. That means your parents are going to lose jobs, most likely. No one can prevent that from happening. As a matter of fact, so what I'm trying to say is men are facing so much obstacle, fear, and disease, and war. People fighting among themselves. This is unprecedented. But that's why men need to figure out a God who can protect them. But just imagine the two warring countries. They're fighting one another, each one praying to the God to protect them. Guess what would the God do? He had to pick a side, isn't it? In the mind of any normal people, that wouldn't be a God. There got to be two gods. So every country has his own god, her own god, right? To protect him or the country. That makes the god a very odd god, changing side every so often, right? But only Christ, he came to seek the lost man. That's what we're going to read today. Secondly, so if you read the story, Christ is sharing with the women what is worship and how to worship. This is here in verse 21, we just read. Jesus said to her, the conversation of Jesus with the woman has two segments. I'm moving into the second segment. Start from verse 21. Jesus said to the woman, believe me, the hour comes when you shall neither worship in this mountain nor Jerusalem. Worship the Father. You worship not what you know. We know what we worship, for salvation from you. Basically, what it says is, when we talk about worship, just like Jefferson Beckett said, it's not coming to this building Sunday alone calling worship. Worship is not where you go. Of course it's where you go, but it's not just where you go. Worship is, what is the worship? and how to worship. So it's not where you go. Go to church. Go to... Being there is not the full content of worship. It's what you are, what you do after you get there. Meantime, we just like going to school. You know, I have to go to school. I go to school, but I sit in the classroom. My mind goes all over, right? Facebook and whatever happened. You're not really in school. But on the rosters, the teacher check is here. It's not absent, right? But actually, you're not really there. The whole day goes by, you get nothing. So it's not just where you are as far as worship is concerned. But when Jesus said the worship is really focused on Jesus Christ or God. But no one sees God. No one sees God, right? Only Jesus Christ, the Son of God, manifests God through him. This is called incarnation. So we can read the story about Jesus Christ. We can see God in a person, manifests the character of God, love, patient, caring, so that we can know, oh, this is God. It's not a superstitious God whom we don't see, we have no idea, is so unstable, and also always punishing us. No, it's through Jesus Christ. Then he said, how to worship. As we just read, worship is, so when you come to a classroom, how do you study? You open a book, you focus, right? You focus on the book. When you go to church, you focus on what the Bible says, because all the biblical story points to Jesus. That gives us the goal. Then how? That's our part. Not only mentally if we focus, we have opened our heart. There's this part in us called spirit. The spirit part is a part which is most precious. That will connect us to God. So when we come to the worship, that's why when the song leader start out with the worship songs, that's the time for us to come down to get all the thoughts of what we did yesterday, what bothering us, everything, pray to the God, let those things out of our mind, out of our heart, so we can have a heart for Jesus Christ. So when the message comes in, it really comes in touch with our need. So that's called worship. Okay, next we talk about the emphasis. The religion emphasizes the outward performance. In the verse 27, when the disciple came back, they didn't know what happened, but they only saw Jesus talked with a woman. And also they realized this is a Samaritan woman. Again, they were caught on by this ethnic dispute between Samaritans and the Jews. They say they don't see why or what happened. They only get caught up by the scene that Jesus talking to a Jewish rabbi, Jesus talking to a Samaritan woman. This is not good. You have experience serving the Hope Center, some of you, right? When you go to Hope Center, you see people dress like you, act like you? No. They're so different, right? Most like them, they don't have whatever, right? They don't have an iPhone, do they? Many residents there, they don't have an iPhone, they don't have anything. Have you ever imagined how can those people survive for all these years? They're old. So I think those experiences make us think. If I were them, how would I survive? I don't think religion without Christ can help them. Just imagine If you are in an environment where no iPhone, no whatever, how do you survive? I've been to Kyrgyzstan this year. You know where Kyrgyzstan is? No. Did I talk to you last time when I... No. It's a country northwest of China. It's a small country in population. It's a big territory. Economically, is the bottom seventh from the list in the world. It's the seventh poorest country in the world. Have very little of anything except pure water, good air, fresh air, unpolluted water, everything. But we lived there with barely running water, electricity, no eye, no nothing. I didn't see TV or anything for a week. I barely had an internet through a main central office to make contact with us. You look at people there, you imagine they would be miserable, right? No, they're not. Depends on what happened inside. Okay. This is to show difference between our work. In here, a pair of Nike shoes, iPhone, driving a Mercedes Benz, it means something, right? But it doesn't mean enough to get you happy inside. If you go to a poor country, they don't have nothing. I don't think they're less happy. Their studies show in those countries, they are really not less happy. They are, do the survey, on the average kids, especially in the orphanage, we visit the orphanage, they're happier than most people. This is very strange. We think all things we own can make us happy, but not knowing that we are owned by the things we own them. Actually, we are owned by the things. Why? Because when we don't have them, I will not be happy. Does that mean we own them? No, that means they own us. They own us means that we can't live without them. Right? We can't live without them means they own us. But what Jesus said here is the women, after he met with Jesus, he said he left her water pot, means the things she came out to do, then she left behind. Because why? There's something more important. He said, come see a man which told me all the things I have ever did. Is this not the Christ? That's the beginning of the change. All of a sudden he realized in her life there's something more important than the water pot. That's Christ. So he wanted to figure out for sure. Then the result. Finally, let's go back to the first chunk. How could this happen? The women came out to get water. The well is a big well. It has thousands of years of history, still running and deep. People drink from there for generations. This is good well. Today, this means a lot of money. Whoever owns this is tremendous power. Why this woman came in the midday? Because she was ashamed. Maybe she had a bad reputation. From the story we know she is not living with men she's married to. She has 5 divorces before. Now she's living with a man, not even her husband. So that could be a reason that she came out during the midday under bright sunshine when nobody else came out, trying to get some water, which is very useful. But then when Jesus said to him, when first Jesus came out When Jesus met her, Jesus said, "Women, can you give me some water?" The woman responded by saying, "Hey, you are Jew, I am Samaritan. You are man, I'm woman. How come you can ask me, talk me without realizing there's a gap, or this kind of exchange, verbal exchange, is not considered decent, because a Jewish man will not talk to a Samaritan woman in no circumstances. This sounds very odd, but that's because of religion. They have so many rules. This rule, that rule, that rule, that rule. You don't violate that rule. In this society, there are so many unspoken rules, right? You try to figure out that among your peers, when you go to the lunch, recess time, or lunchtime, who sits with whom? There's an unspoken rule. Those most popular people on campus may not sit with the least popular people on campus. No way. They have their own clique. This is like that. The Samaritan woman considered herself very low on the social stratus. So she was amazed. The Jewish man would talk to her. Then, not only that, he asking for her to help him. Usually it's the other way around. Remember, when Jesus came meeting us, he's not coming as a king to clobber us, to beat us down, to say, "You need me." No, he came, tried to have a conversation with us on an equal footing to say, "Can you give me some water?" And the Samaritan woman was so surprised. The Samaritan woman didn't give him water. But Jesus said, that's where. Jesus answered and said to her, "If you know the gift of God and who is that talk to you, give me the drink, you would not have asked of him, and he would have given the free living water." Jesus said, if you know, if you knew the person talking to you is Son of God, you would have asked him the living water, he would have given it to you. So Jesus is talking about the living water is not something visible. But the invisible water works miracles, where the visible water only solves the problem of today. Anything you want to get your hands on visibly will solve a problem today, but will not solve the problem inside of you, will not guarantee your security for tomorrow. You may want to say, okay, my brother, my older brother, sister are now in your van. I can assure you that could be your immediate goal. But I can assure you, when you achieve that goal, you find there are other problems down the road, other hurdles. Life is not accomplished, complete, when you go from Van Heusen to Adam High School. You would think, once I get to Adam High School, my life is complete. When you say, when I finish Adam High School, I go to Yale Van, my life is complete. I have a news for you. That process never ends. You can check with your older brother and say, "Or some from Yale Van here." You think, if I graduate from Yale Van, I go to dental school, I go to pharmacy school, I go to med school, my life complete. I have news for you. No. We have older people here. You think, if I get a job at General Motors after your friend engineering degree, my life is complete. Check, ask your father, parent. They work in the big company with a big name. Life is never complete there's no guarantee you'll be satisfied. Because everything visible can only take care of the need today. Sometimes, just think about the water the Samaritan woman drink from the well. Only one cup will take care of the need, right? Sometimes we drink three cups, one cup of water, three cups of wine. Why do we have to drink three cups of wine? To get rid of the anxiety, to get rid of the worry, right? Why is drinking so prevalent on college campuses? Because the drinking age is what? I don't know, really, no. 21? Okay. People say, once I get 21, my worry will be gone. I can drink until the day the worry is gone. You have that experience? Well, I hope most of you haven't done that. It will not go away, I can assure you. Because all the problems we have, 90% are from inside. 10%, we need the food, right? How many of you have starved for over 3 days in your lifetime? No? Oh, no. How many have you been thirsty over a day without water? None. Okay. So you realize that those things you need take care of the temporary. But when you have full, your stomach full, drink, everything, air condition is 68, temperature, room temperature is 68, 72 year round. Is your worry gone? Is your anxiety gone? No. Because those things that come from inside. That's why Jesus said, only the living water of Jesus can help. Okay, finally, let's finish. The real problem, Jesus finally talked to the woman that Jesus said to her, go call your husband and come back. Why Jesus want to bring her husband here? Because Jesus want to point out the connection of the living water and her marital status. It's not a condemnation. If Jesus want to condemn her, Jesus could have told her the first encounter when they met. Jesus can't say, you are a sinner. You committed adultery. Did Jesus say that? No. It's not the condemnation bringing us back. It's the self-awareness of inner depravity or inner sin. Sin means we are short of what we need to be. I shouldn't be this anxious all the time. I shouldn't be this worried all the time. I shouldn't be this jealous all the time. I shouldn't be this hateful all the time. This is what we really realize. Until we realize that, nothing else can be done. Jesus wanted to bring this woman to the point that the reason you married 5 times, regardless of what happened, that shows there's a dissatisfaction in you, in your lifetime. This is your lifetime story. You can't have your lifetime story labeled. My lifetime story is happy. Thank God for that. If my lifetime story is envy, we have a problem. How many people have the lifetime story of envy? No, I think you're all about that. But just imagine, if I see any people doing better, any people happier, any people prettier, I feel so bad inside. Guess how badly you are in that situation. You avoid all the people, look better, doing better, act better, right? Because that causes you envy. The problem is, it's not people, it's me inside. That's where the problem is. That's what Jesus said. He says, only me can help you. The story going to end there. The woman said to him, sir, I perceive that you are a prophet. Finally, let me use the story of Nick Vujicic. Have you heard about him? No. many times. As Jesus said, Jesus talked to the woman that if you ask me of this living water, I will have given it to you. It really means what? It means we come to Jesus to say, I realize there are two kinds of problem we're facing. I need clothes, right? I need shoes. I need a good job. I need a roof over my head. Those are easier to resolve. That doesn't take an inner life to necessarily. That takes a work habit, right? A tenacious work habit to get all I need. But you realize there are other parts of me. I feel jealous all the time. I feel always inferior. I feel cocky all the time. I just feel knock people down. There's a volcano potential erupt out of control. I feel so depressed. Those things out of control. Only Jesus can do. So what Jesus actually said to the Samaritan woman, come to me in private, not in the open forum. Oh, no. Come to me in private. That's why Jesus and the Samaritan woman, when they meet, nobody was around. That's by design. Jesus sent all his disciples away to get food so they can be two alone. The king come to Jesus alone, to him to say, Lord, I have a problem. This is my problem. Make a clear list. Help me. I submit myself, just like this, the song leader led us. I submit myself to you. So come into my heart. Change me from inside. This is what happened to Nick Vujicic. He was born without limbs. He has a website say born without limbs. If you are a person born without limbs, what are you going to do? Just imagine, if you're a person born without limbs, what are we going to do? He wanted to kill himself several times. Let's take a look at the picture. He attempted suicide before age 13 several times. The only reason he couldn't make it is because he didn't have limbs. He can only knock his head against the wall a couple of times. That's it, then slide down. One time he tried to drown himself, but you know, without limbs, how can you get the water to the top? Very difficult. He even have trouble killing himself. He's just in depression all the time. But he has a Christian parent. The Christian parent always tell Nick, you are a precious being. We love you for just the way you are. Then by the age 14 or 15, he ran into a person, this handicapped person. That person told him the story. He wanted to kill himself until one day that person met Jesus Christ, changed his life. Then he tried to submit himself to Jesus Christ. By the age of 17, he was born. He got a new life, the living water. He went out, not only not feeling sorry for him, he went to his classmate and just like this, to tell the story of Jesus Christ. And at the end, he always asked the question, what is your problem? Tears start to fall on the cheeks of all the audience. Doesn't he have a problem? Don't you think he has a problem? But he can show joy. And he go around from campus to campus, share his life story. Guess what? 2 years ago, he got married. Now he has a son. Think about Nick Vujicic. Next time when you are in trouble, depressed, envy, can get out of it, ask God, give me that living water, overflowing. so that I can have joy. Let's pray. Father, we come to you. We submit ourselves to you. We know we consider ourselves smart, but we can't help with our own shortcomings, character flaw. None of this we can help. We just come to you. We submit ourselves to you. We ask for your living water life come into our life so that we can be transformed from the inside. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.